Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Wood and my guest today is Gelasio Gaetani d'Aragona. Welcome, Gelasio.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm pretty good. You're looking pretty relaxed.
Yeah, I'm
as
fine.
Usual.
Just arrived now to Verona, actually from England, from your...
Well, you're lucky to have escaped. Well done.
Yeah.
So tell me about your career, what you do. You're closely associated with Tuscany, you know all the wineries, everybody in Tuscany knows you. I haven't yet met anybody involved in wine who doesn't know of you. What do you do and how do you do it?
Hey, at this point of my life, I would say when I go around in the wine world, like today is the first day of in Italy, at the end is I'm still curious to see what's going on in this world. And my life began as a wine producer. When I was very young, I was in Montalcino. My family was making Brunello di Montalcino. My father, then I followed his for quite a few years.
So when did he start with Brunello?
It was the first vintage was 1970, which for Brunello di Montalcino is like to say the historical first period, because before that, the denomination was in 1966. And then
so there were only about 20 producers then, weren't there?
Yeah, we were maybe. Only Biondi Santi was, let's say, the inventor of the way of making Brunello. And then we were, I think, 10 producers: Argiano, Il Poggione, Poggio le Mura, that then became Villa Banfi, and Lisini, the lady. I think she must be, I hope she's still alive, but she was quite old at the time. So it was, let's say, the historical time of Brunello. So many things has happened in the Brunello area, and at that time Brunello was not like it was now, which now to speak about Brunello is as to of Montalcino is as to speak about Bordeaux, the greatest area in wine area in the world. I would say with Bulgari. Now Bulgari and Montalcino are the... Everybody wants, the great investors would love to get vineyards and wineries there. And
Bulgari is very much seen as an international region in the sense that it has both local grape varieties, particularly Sangiovese, plus the Bordeaux influence and also Syrah as well, whereas obviously Brunello is 100% Sangiovese. How is that tension, how do you see that tension developing in the future, and how has it been managed historically?
I don't think it's a, it's a tension. Actually, the Bordeaux-style Tuscan wine were very important to create the new legend of the Italian wine, because Sassicaia in Bulgari was the first Bordeaux style wine ever produced in Tuscany, and the story is so fascinating that because of that Sassicaia case, for example, Piero Antinori thought, but why, let's try to put some Cabernet Sauvignon also in my own wines. And so after Sassicaia you had Solaia, Tignanello, and the Bordeaux emulation brought to the renaissance of Tuscan wines with, America get crazy for Robert Parker, get crazy for, Bordeaux is still the benchmark of. Now it's a moment where all the new generation of Italian producers are going back to the traditional varietal in order to find something that nobody other have, and so
nobody can copy.
And so now because Italy became, now it's quite famous all over the world, so now it's a new, comparing to the time I was in my 20s, it's a new era, and probably another new era will be when China and all the Asiatic will be the real buyer also of Italian wine.
Do you think the old days were more fun? Like when you were a kid growing up in Dublin, Brunello was not a world famous wine. It was a deserted area, wasn't it?
No, I think what is very fun for everybody is when you are young. So there is an enthusiasm that in every generation you represent the new. And then when you get older, everybody becomes a little more referenziale. And so they say boring things. But I think it's very important to listen the new generation, because they are a mix of being wise, because they listen to what the father said, they are respectful to what the parents of the generation previous did. But then they have this engine, which is the youth, that can be transformed in something revolutionary, you know. Then wine, as you know, it's also a situation of coincidence and stories that mix together. So the although, you know, everybody speaks about marketing strategy and what to invent, but in the reality, all the greatest wine in the world, like the Italian famous wine, are all originated by accidental
chances.
Like the Sassicaia was just because the old Marchese Incisa was in love with Bordeaux wines, so he tried to plant some Bordeaux grapes in his land, and then so, you know, wine is, you learn everything. I learn a lot every day, and then I try to make also some business out of this, because somebody believe that I am a guru in wine, but in the reality I'm a good wine drinker.
Okay, Gelasio, I think we'll leave it there. I mean, do you think Montalcino is a zone that you love and you know well, and you've had such personal experience with it? Do you think it's in a really good position at the moment? I personally do. I think there's been so many changes, and obviously there's always room for improvement, but as a region, it's made, I think, huge strides, huge progress in the last 8-9 years. I really
do. Now we are really entering in the golden age of Brunello, because now also every single wine producer is much more conscious of how the wine should be. It's much more knowledgeable about the international tasting of market. So I think Brunello is living, and also the investor, the new wine producer, are much more passionate about wine. It's not only the the banks or the insurance company that used to buy in Montalcino in the 80s, in the 90s. Now all the new acquisitions are made by professional wine people, like the case in a way, I would say, the Biondi Santi acquisition by French. I think it's a positive thing, because the French, it's a big company, luxury brands.
Aspirational, isn't it?
So everything is thanks to the work of so many people, I would say now, at least three generation of four, if you consider the old contadini.
The old countrymen, peasants.
I think to people like Pacenti, Baricci, now they must be dead, I think.
Yeah, Nello recently passed.
Passed away. Yeah. But I think there is still, comparing to Bordeaux, for example, Montalcino still has to develop some structure within the consortio,
step by step.
Step by step.
We're in Italy, so.
We are in Italy. Yeah. Plus, we began 30 years ago to make good wines. If we go back and we compare to the French, they started 300 years ago. So we just have to wait a little bit.
Gelasio, it's great to see you. You are the best dressed man in Italy.
Thank you.
If you didn't have any kind of career in wine, I'd sign you up as a top model. You know, you just have a presence about you, and very elegant, and you combine sophistication with this kind of devil mic, almost like you've washed up from a desert island, right? And then you think, who's this hobo that's washed up on a desert island? And then you start talking Latin and poetry and all the rest of it. So you're a man of contradictions, but a great conversationalist.
Thank you very much. Really,
so nice to bump into you today, and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I hope we see you again during the Vin Italy.
Thanks, Gelasio.
Thank you.
Campione, champion.
Grazie, fantastico.
Grazie a te.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.